translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and the small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? Please repeat. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha. But where from can their disharmony come into existence? Purport. It's quite a long purport. Just as there are different departments in each state in this material world, the civil department and the criminal department, so in God's creation there are two departments of existence. As in the material world, we find the criminal department is far, far smaller than the civil department. So this material world, which is considered the criminal department, is 1/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. All living entities who are residents of the material universes are considered to be more or less criminals because they do not wish to abide by the order of the Lord, or they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful, and he has become many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities, like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is entrapped by Maya or illusion. The external energy of the Lord is called the material world, and the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. Everything there is absolute. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach. And just as in a machine, there are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants are also perfectly engaged in the service of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, interpret this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the small sky and the big sky are one. But this idea cannot stand. The example of the big sky and the small sky is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself, and the intestines and the other parts of the body occupy the small sky. Each and every part of the body has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. Similarly, the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we created beings, or anything that is created, are but a small part of that body. The parts of the body are never equal to the whole. This is never possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the living entities who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are eternally parts and parcels. According to the Mayavadi philosophers, the living entity in illusion considers himself part and parcel, although he's actually one and the same as the Supreme Whole. This theory is not valid. The oneness of the whole and the part is their quality. The qualitative oneness of the sky and large portions of the sky does not imply that the small sky becomes the big sky. There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear. Because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents, Maya means disharmony between living entities and the Supreme Lord, and Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because he is the supreme living entity. but foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, divide his existence, and that state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. They say everything is void, and sometimes deny him in a different way. There may be a God, but he has no form. Both these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. Harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. This is religion. When one is fully conscious that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme Lord, and one acts accordingly, that is real religion. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all other religious principles. In the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore the world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principles can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om gyanati mrindasya gyananjana shalakya chakshuram nitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Tishtarine Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's quite a long purport. I hope you all didn't fall asleep. I will try my best to put you to sleep with the rest of the class. So there are lots of themes in this purport, and Prabhupada spent quite a long time. It's quite a long purport. The themes that I picked up are harmony versus disharmony, spiritual versus material. Prabhupada also stresses that we are individuals and remain so, and that we are meant to serve devotees, to serve Krishna, and we need to recognize that we're all parts and parcels of the Lord, and therefore to respect one another in order to progress on the path back home to back to Godhead. And Prabhupada mentions at the very end that it is therefore nice that we serve together in this vehicle that Srila Prabhupada has created, and then we can create Vaikuntha here. So just a bit of context of where we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the third canto, and the third and fourth canto represent the thighs of the Supreme Lord according to the Padma Purana. The third canto has five parts to it, and we're in the third part, the pastimes of Lord Varahadev. And today's verse in this theme is between chapters 13 and 19, and it's the history of Jaya and Vijay and how they became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So at the beginning of this chapter, the universe has been darkened, the light of the sun and the moon has been dimmed by the force of Diti's pregnancy, and the demigods are all perturbed, and they've gone to Lord Brahma, who's the supreme being in this creation, and their father, to say, what's happening? Why are we being disturbed? And Lord Brahma has then explained that his oldest sons, the four Kumaras, have been traveling and exploring the universe, and they've gone beyond to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. they've traversed six gates of the palace of Lord Vishnu. They've seen the wonders of Vaikuntha, and there's some lovely descriptions about the flowers, the plants, the creepers, the residents, how even the birds and the bees are all completely devoted to Lord Vishnu and his service. And they've got to the seventh gate, and these two figures, these doorkeepers as they're described, who are dressed very nicely but look a little bit disturbed, have now stopped them. And now these four Kumaras are perturbed, and they're commenting on the situation. This is the second verse of their commentation, third verse on the commentation on this. The Kumaras didn't get the welcome they were expected. They had come to the spiritual world with a view that it's all loving, but they'd become disturbed. they'd become astonished that someone would stop them. And there was a bit of anger as well. And it says in the previous verse there was some anger. What kind of world has we come to? What kind of people are these? How can this happen in this all-loving environment? Why is there a seed of fear in this place of harmony? And in some places it says this, that the four Kumaras also have a slight seed of fear because they've immediately gone on the defensive. They may be not sure of their actions or why they're here. They're still exploring. So the four Kumaras may feel slightly a little bit like imposters, though they accuse the Jay and Vijay of being imposters. And there may be a slight feeling of not belonging. If we're convinced that Krishna is the center, then there are no fears and worries, and that is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means a place of no worries. The Kumaras have come to this place in the view of being Brahmavadis at the moment. They've seen Krishna in the heart or Vishnu in the heart, but they haven't seen the form in real vision, as it were. So maybe they're a little bit scared. The material world, Prabhupada explains, is one of fear, but not of harmony. And Prabhupada talks in the purport how the material world occupies about a quarter of the energies of the Lord, or parts of the energies of the Lord. Ekapad vibhuti. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 10.42 that this material world is just a spark of my splendor. Ekamshi sena stito jagat. So what is this principle of creation? It is that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says, is by nature joyful. He's become many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entities are entrapped by Maya or illusion. So Krishna's, we've eternally existed, but we're here for Krishna's pleasure. But Prabhupada stresses we're meant to serve Krishna and satisfy his senses, and that's the reason that we are in existence. And then if we don't do that, we develop disharmony, and then we're entrapped by Maya and sent to this material world. So what is harmony? The principle of harmony is that the parts work for the whole. And Prabhupada talks in the purport about how the parts of the body work for the stomach. The finger doesn't do its own thing. It doesn't go off and say, I'm going to do this. And there's that lovely story of the parts of the body rebelling against the stomach and becoming very weak and then realizing that the stomach actually supplies them with energy and therefore they need to work together in harmony. And by working together in harmony, we become satisfied and the Lord becomes satisfied. We're in this material world. We can't just work on the principle, I'll give everything to the Lord. We'll eventually get to that, but we do need to have a bit of our own satisfaction. In Vaikuntha, harmony exists when we work with the Supreme Lord and not for ourselves. Krishna has created everything to work in unity. He has a perfect plan. But because we're parts and parts of Krishna, we have all of his qualities in minute amounts. And one of his qualities is the quality of independence, or sarat. So we have a tiny amount of independence, or free will. But we can only use this independence in two ways, either to be with Krishna or not with Krishna. And that's our choice. We're eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, Jiva, Bhuta, Sanatana. We're one in interest, but not in quality. So there is some oneness with the Lord. We have the same quality, but not in the same quantity. So Prabhupada's stressing this as well in the purport, because the Mayavadis use this verse to say that we're all one, that we're part of the little sky, and that will merge and become the big sky. But Prabhupada says, within the whole body of the world, of the universe, and in actually the, if you look at the Sanskrit, it's samasta kukshav, within the abdomen. So everything that we see, spiritual, material, is all within the Supreme Lord, within the abdomen of the Lord. So by being these parts and parcels, we can't become the whole. The sum of the parts doesn't equal the whole. What have we done? We have become criminal, as Prabhupada said. We have misused our independence, and therefore our spiritual form has been covered and we've been sent to this material world. I'm sure we didn't have as fiery a descent as Jay and Vijay, but, you know, we're all in this material world. Some of us have been here eternally, some of us have come as we have misused our independence. But once we remember or realize that we're something more than this suffering of the threefold miseries, we can start to appreciate that there is a higher power. So once we get out of ourselves, the first bit we do is we think about who we are. We can think there must be a supreme being. And this supreme being, as Prabhupada said, is the eternal amongst eternals. He's the most conscious among conscious beings, and he's the one who fulfills all our desires and maintains us. Nityo nityanam. So once we realize this is supreme, we can start to learn that supreme has a form. So this is where the Kumaras are at the moment. They have realized that there's an impersonal form, and they're trying to realize there's a personal form. So they're going from Brahmavadi to personalist. So this is a mirror of our journey. So we realize who we are. We realize there's something greater than us. We've got to work out what that greater thing is. And then we can work out, does that greater thing have a form? Has it got a person? So once we've realized God has a form, the next question arises, what's our relationship with him? How do we act in that relationship? And what is the goal of that relationship? Why are we here? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami writes, Anya Bilasitam Sunyam. We should consider that transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So that's our goal, pure devotional service, to render loving services of the Supreme Lord. So how do we serve? Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport that if we don't work with the politics of divide and rule, which we have in the material world, it's very evident with social media and everything else like that, how we are more connected but more divided at the same time. That if we follow religion, which is the law and order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means devotional service. Okay? So if we don't think of me and mine, if we follow religion, which is the law and order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says, given in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that means devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says that if we work together, put our faith in Krishna as the center, so not us in the center, and work according to the principles and orders of Bhagavad Gita, we will be in harmony and therefore living in Vaikuntha in this material world. But in each of us, we have this disharmony, and we get that when we become self-centered. We develop a false ego, ahankara, which I think Malinitai described yesterday, and we develop material desires. Disharmony therefore starts within us, where we are not seeing all of those around us, everything around us is connected to Krishna as parts and parcels. Even though they may be covered, we need to learn to appreciate that everything is part and part of Krishna and we're all connected. Okay? Maya is the gatekeeper. So as soon as this disharmony arises, she steps in and sends us to this material world, which you can call a sort of timeout zone, where we can work out our desires, work out where we are, you know, does this work without Krishna? Does it work us trying to be the supreme? It is very much like a timeout zone, this material world. But with the added disadvantages of developing a material body and the sufferings that come along with identifying with the material body, the three kleshas. However, there is hope once we move a little bit beyond this material body, think that there's something on beyond this body, remember that we have a relationship with Krishna, we can develop this harmony. And even in this material world, once we're in this state of harmony, everything else falls away. So externally, it may look like we're suffering. And there are various examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam and our scriptures and our acharyas about the external suffering, but internally there is no suffering. So the classic example is Bhishma Dev on his bed of arrows. He is thousands of arrows. He can't do anything. All his blood is out and he is just hanging on. And it looks like from one aspect that he's in pain, but he's actually in complete Krishna consciousness, connected to Krishna, so much so that Krishna personally appears before him so that he may pass on. And we see that in our own grand spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. To the very last moment, the last day, he is lying on the bed, unable to move, all bones, the description is. He is still translating to that very moment to save us. He is not in distress or suffering, though it may be external. He is completely connected to Krishna. And we're having a wonderful time reading Leelamrita with Ananta Gopal on a Thursday evening. So if those want to join, we read from 7:30 to 8:30 in Srila Prabhupada's room. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada is an example of a pure devotee. And what is possible, what we can aspire to, and our journey is along the way to get there. So how do we get to this state of harmony? I mean, the first step, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam and by the question of Sanatana Goswami to Lord Chaitanya, is first step is self-awareness. Who are we? Why am I suffering? And part of that journey is to be present in the moment, okay? So we can start, instead of thinking What's happening tomorrow, what's happening yesterday, why am I here? We can think about being in the moment. We can not be distracted. So an example is when we're doing a japa, we could just be on social media doom scrolling. Instead, we should be focused in the moment, getting ourselves aligned to the will of Krishna. If we're aligned to the will of Krishna, we're in Vaikuntha. Following this alignment, or sort of developing this self-awareness, we can develop a service attitude. We can recognize that we're all parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are all connected. So it becomes not just about us, it becomes about everyone else and how we can be joined together as a big net to serve the Lord. So if we become self-aware, we become conscious of who we are, we live in the moment, then we extend ourselves to others. So if we extend ourselves to others, we can do this in lots of different ways. It doesn't mean we go out and go, Prabhu, please, what can I do for you? If you don't get on with someone or you find it difficult to, you could be thoughtful. You could try and do things. You know, you may sweep the floor. You may put things away. You may see something that needs doing that helps everyone else. You may pray for others if they're in distress or you feel that you can't help them directly or you don't have that relationship. You can have good thoughts and wishes and pray to Krishna for them and for ourselves. We can then move on to serve others, and that's what pleases Krishna. But service doesn't mean to do something. It means to do something for the pleasure of that person, something that's helpful to them in a spiritual way. It doesn't mean go out and buy them, you know, the latest fashion. It means doing something that will help them realize Krishna. And sometimes that can be chastisement if you're in that relationship. Sometimes that can be encouragement. Sometimes that can mean just being there. Krishna consciousness means to please Krishna by pleasing the spiritual masters. And we have many of them in our movement. We all have Diksha and Shiksha gurus, any mentors. And by pleasing the devotees and helping them, serving them to do that, help them to do their best possible service to Krishna. So that would be the main thing. If we can help serve others to help them serve Krishna, that is most pleasing. And that's our goal. Srimati Radharani accepts us when she sees us serving nicely and she passes us on to Krishna saying, this soul is wonderful, they're serving so nicely. She is the vehicle that delivers our love, and that's why we're in this line of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, that we want to worship Krishna through Radharani. So once we've appreciated that there's a Lord and that therefore everything is connected to him, we need to also recognize, again, as parts and parcels, that we should all be working collaboratively. In the spiritual world, there is no me and Krishna. It's me serving with others to serve Krishna. Lord Chaitanya tells us clearly, Gopi Bhattaya Pada Kamala Das Das Anudasa, which means we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Yeah. So the main principle in Krishna consciousness is we have to learn to serve and work together with others to realize that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So how do we start developing this attitude? We start, as I said, by extending ourselves. We start trying to learn the process of serving without the need for appreciation and recognition. This is a journey. I mean, when we start doing service, be it book distribution, prasadam seva, cleaning the temple, deity worship, you may be looking for appreciation and recognition. And that's natural. But as you practice and you pray sincerely, these desires for pran pratishtha and puja will disappear. This process works. We've seen it work. And we have our acharyas to show us the way. And we have the Srimad Bhagavatam where there are lots and lots of examples. Even Jay and Vijay are showing us the example. So then we also need to start serving with humility. What can I do for others? And we need to develop relationships deep and meaningful with devotees. And that's explained to us through the six loving exchanges. We need to see who we can associate with and try and connect ourselves as much as possible. So we are a product of our environment. So the more we connect, the more we immerse ourselves in a type of environment, the more it stays with us. And Prabhupada's quite clear that this life is practice for the final challenge or lesson, which is death. So if we practice being in Christian consciousness by chanting, by associating, by hearing, by attending, by the nine processes of devotional service, we will become Krishnaized, as Prabhupada talks about. He always talks about the iron rod being in fire the whole time and how that rod becomes like fire. So if we maintain this connection with the devotees, then we'll become strong. How do we maintain that? We maintain that with respect and gratitude. They're the two components with dealing with others. We have to have respect and gratitude. Everyone gives us something, be their association, their time, their inspiration, their actions, and we can be grateful for that. If we accept this principle of gratitude and respect, we will learn humility. If by doing this, we will act in a proper way and will become more harmonious. And the root of this disharmony is our envy of others, this desire to say that it is me and everything belongs to me. Why have you got that? Yeah, that is the root cause, this envy that we've developed, that it should all be for me. The true devotee, therefore, is one who is happy for others. Happy when they exceed you. Not happy when they're just, you know, there, oh, great, but happy when they're exceeding you. Oh, I distributed one set of Bhagavatam yesterday. Oh, this devotee's done 10. You become truly happy. Like the true teacher or parent is happy when the student or child surpasses them. Material consciousness in a spiritual way is how to keep Krishna for myself and keep others away. And that's the trap we need to not fall into. With spiritual consciousness becomes how to help others in their relationship with Krishna with no thought of self-pleasure. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. So we have to develop this attitude of how we can help others in their relationship with Krishna, how we can support others with no thought of self-pleasure. At first there will be appreciation and things like that, but as time goes by, these things will fall away. We need to see as others having a relationship with Krishna and see ourselves only as a servant, as a facilitator. We need to try and develop this attitude of not saying it's our right to have happiness over the master's happiness, over Krishna's happiness. We all get pleasure by practicing devotional service. It's naturally joyful. So that's the side product of it. It'll become joyful, but it allows us to keep doing this. A bit later in this third canto, there's a couple of verses by Kapila to Devahuti from chapter 29, verses 22 to 23. Text 22. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temple, but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes, i.e. is useless. Text 23. One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist, never attains peace of mind because of this inimical behavior towards other living entities. So Lord Kapila is stressing again later in this canto that we need to serve others. We need to recognize that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna and that connected. It's not about me and Krishna. It's about me, everyone else, and Krishna and how we can serve together. I thought it was very apt when it says offering oblations to ashes. What's the point of a fire sacrifice without fire? We'll just pour ghee, money, whatever else, love into ashes, and it gets us nothing. Okay? So it's very important that we get rid of this envy if we can. In Ishapanishad, verse 6, it says, he who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. So hate is equivalent to envy. And this is the description, Srila Prabhupada says, of the Mahabhagavat. So he is not envious. He sees everyone as linked to Krishna. And the beginning stage of that is Pandita Samadarshana. That's a neutral stage. You see as everyone as neutral. But then you can develop the actual feeling and relationship, and you can see everyone's relationship with Krishna, and then you can try and help everyone cultivate that relationship with Krishna. So we have to see these relationships, we have to cultivate these relationships with one another, and that will help us see Krishna everywhere else. That will keep us in this fire. Okay, so we all need to stay in this fire of Krishna consciousness. In our bhakti practices, if we look and focus on our relationships, then we will progress in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we can over-focus on ourselves. We can think, it's all about my japa. I need to do my rounds in the best possible way. I need to do my service in the best possible way. My deity worship is the best. And this can sometimes affect our relationships with others. It can make us short with others. Oh, look, you're interrupting my japa time. You're interrupting this. But we need to find a balance between our practices and everyone else's practices. That doesn't mean you become eventually become a selfless service for everyone, but on this journey, you've got to find a balance between time for me and time for others, and you need to work together. The purpose of devotion, or to being a devotee, is to bring people closer to Krishna, to facilitate their relationship and to become a servant, but not an enjoyer. So that's why we're here. We've tried to become an enjoyer. We need to learn to become a servant again. And moving on to sort of one of the few final points that I wanted to make today, the question may arise, going back to the translation, if this is Vaikuntha, how can there be a seed of fear? How can there be this disharmony in this absolute perfect place? Well, some things we can't fully understand, and we've just got to accept them. You know, we've just got to accept there are things that are indescribable, are beyond our knowledge, and actually are not necessary. They don't affect what we need to do, what we do, and how we progress. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a historical and allegorical lesson for us to understand God, ourselves, and our position and relationship with Krishna, and how we can return home back to Godhead. So in this age, we can't take straight up facts. You know, in previous ages, the Vedas would be heard, they'd say a verse, you'd understand it, you'd get on with it. In this age, we can't take up straight up facts. We can't unpack them. We can't do any of these sort of things. We are manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya. We are quarrelsome, we're lazy, we're misguided, we're unlucky and always disturbed. And that's why Vedavyasa has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we've got to look at all of these in the lens of it is for us, as well as it is describing the glories of the Lord. So in this context, we can't really comment on Jay and Vijay's whether they are actually showing enmity or disharmony. But we can accept that this is all Leela of the Lord and they're acting in one part for our benefit. If the Jay and Vijay didn't have this story, we wouldn't get this story and we wouldn't be able to learn from it. And we can appreciate the Lord is very wonderful, that he can achieve an infinite number of purposes with just one act. Srila Prabhupada once said in a conversation that Jay and Vijay fell because of misuse of their independence. And that's the lesson for us, that as individual souls we have this Sarat, we have this independence, but we can misuse it and we can fall. Hence, we're in this material world, as per the purport. You know, we're in the criminal department rather than the civil department. We're in the one quarter timeout zone rather than the three quarters. I'll say enjoyment, but zone. It is enjoyment, but that's the byproduct of serving the Lord. All living entities who are here are therefore considered criminals, more or less. Because we don't want to abide by the order of the Lord, or they're against the harmonious activities of the Lord. And we've gone as so far as trying to deny that God exists, or say that he's formless. And that's probably the most hurtful thing we can do against the Lord, is denying that he has a form. Ignoring him, less so. Actually actively working against him, that really keeps us here. So we've got to try and work on this idea that it isn't just us, it is us, the Lord, and his parts and parcels. Krishna has the quality of being expert. So he's got 64 main qualities, and one of those is being expert. And he can accomplish many things by one act. So in this one act, this one pastime, he's accomplished many, many things. He satisfied the four Kumaras who had become personless. So a couple of verses on from here, once the cursing has happened, we see that Lord Vishnu rapidly runs in it. It says he approaches very rapidly. He's not had time to put his shoes on. He hasn't called Garuda. But the purpose of this is that by walking there, his lotus feet are uncovered and the aroma of the tulsi enters the nostrils of the four Kumaras and they become personless. So this one act of cursing has satisfied the Kumaras. They've converted from Brahmavadis to personless. Jay and Vijay also wanted to offer service to the Lord. So they had been observing that Lord Krishna has many rasas. One of the secondary rasas is chivalry. And they thought, well, actually, the Lord never gets to accomplish that rasa. In Vaikuntha, everyone is very much awe and reverence. No, we're wonderful. We're not going to do anything to, you know, disturb the Lord. So they immediately thought, actually, maybe let's see if we can help the Lord with this chivalrous rasa. So they have almost volunteered to be cursed, or Krishna's facilitated that, so they can come down and have the greatest battles with the Lord that we've seen. the descriptions of the battle of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu with Lord Varadev and Lord Nrisingadev are amazing. And Krishna got a lot of pleasure out of it. The anger that Lord Nrisingadev showed, you know, the whole universe trembled. Krishna got enjoyment out of that. Finally, Lord Vishnu also satisfied Mother Lakshmi. So previously, Jay and Vijay had been employed as doorkeepers, but Lord Vishnu had many purposes. He sometimes got them to do things like bar the apartment. So once Lord Vishnu was resting, Mother Lakshmi wanted to see Lord Vishnu. And Jay and Vijay said, the Lord said, no one's to come and see him. So she got very angry with that. And she said they should be punished. So therefore, Lord Vishnu has appeased Mother Lakshmi by cursing, allowing the cursing of Jay and Vijay. And finally, by his own sweet will, he's accomplished all of these. Srila Prabhupada states that Krishna is by nature joyful, and he becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. I'll end the class with a quote from George Bernard Shaw. Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything. So we need to change our attitude. We need to look beyond ourselves, learn how to serve the devotees, and know that we're connected to the devotees, and then learn to serve Krishna in unity. Hare Krishna. Time for questions. I'll start with the two over there. Machi at the front.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your nice class. So I wanted to ask a question about the last point you said about Mother Lakshmi. So how can I understand that, you know, such an exalted devotee in Vaikuntha could desire the downfall of another devotee and Krishna could support that?
I think it wasn't more desiring the downfall, it was more that they should have some punishment for some reason. This is a transcendental leela between husband and wife, as it were. Mother Lakshmi felt slighted, and it's all part of the transcendental leela. She's the internal potency of the Lord. I don't think we can take it as she actively wanted Jay and Vijay to fall, but she knew that this will be part of the pastimes of the Lord. Again, we've got to go to this point that some things we're not meant to understand and we can't always look for the reasoning behind it, but know that it happens. We've got to accept that this enmity doesn't exist in Vaikuntha. It's quite clear that there is no enmity in Vaikuntha. There is no ahankar. There is no jealousy. Everyone is working their best to support Lord Krishna, to support Lord Vishnu. In a few verses prior to this, when the humming bees start glorifying the Lord, the birds stop their own sweet sounds just to listen to the Lord, to the glories of the Lord. In the same way, Mother Lakshmi, she became angry on one hand and thought, well, maybe they shouldn't have done that. But on the other hand, she is thinking about the Lord's pleasure and how this will serve. So she isn't actively saying they need to come down to the material world, but it's part of the leela. Some things have to happen in order to facilitate the Lord's leela. Sometimes someone has to play a slightly adverse role to move things along. I hope that answers things. So, yeah. Sudamini?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Can you hear now?
Shout louder.
Okay. Thank you for a wonderful class.
It's
not working.
Okay, it's working now.
Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. It was express, boom, 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 boom. We had to just catch up. It was really good, full of content. Thank you so much, Prabhu. My question was on misuse of independence. You mentioned about Jay and Vijay. I can't understand why misuse. They were doing their duty. They were standing there. That was their role to protect, you know, or to look up.
It's a very complex pastime. On one regard, you can say, why is there a need for doorkeepers in Vaikuntha? Why?
Yeah.
Everyone's devoted to the Lord. Yeah. Everyone should be doing things. But sometimes Vishnu has certain roles, like the example where he's just said, I'm going to rest. I don't want anyone to come and see me. So immediately the servant's going to jump up and go, yeah, I need to do that. So the role of Jay and Vijay is not fully for our understanding. of why they are there and why do we need doorkeepers. But they are there to facilitate pastimes, to give some service, yeah? To do things that Krishna wants.
So in that case, they've done their role. Say, assuming that the Lord was resting, they were the doorkeepers and they've done their role correctly, haven't they?
But not in context. So in this case, they're not. Lord Vishnu hasn't said, stop anyone. Lord Vishnu goes on later to talk about the qualities of a brahmana and how they're very dear to him and how they're the best of all.
Okay.
Yeah? So it's they've taken their own independence in some respect, their own thought on it, and they've gone further than they should have. So their misuse of independence is saying that I know best rather than how can we all serve the Lord better, what would please the Lord. That's the misuse of their independence, and therefore that's why apparently they're falling. Again, it is all part of this interlinked leela.
Now it makes complete sense. So where now your service has become a disservice, actually.
Yeah, you've taken it on before. You've taken it on your own, rather than you stepped outside the bounds of your authority in some respects. Again, it's complicated, and there's no clear answers to everything. Prabhu? Okay. Any other questions?
I remembered my question. So, yeah, I wanted to ask, because you said that the deity worship of somebody who cannot see that the super soul is present, everyone's heart is useless. So, yeah, how can we understand this? Because Prabhupada, he wanted especially householders to all do deity worship, make their home a temple. So is this applicable only for those who can see the super soul in everyone's heart?
There are different levels. You know, you have Kanishta, Madhyama, Anuttama. Kanishta just sees me and the Lord. This is applying to me and the Lord. It just seems between me and the Lord. But it's a starting point, yeah? We need to start somewhere. So at first, it is me and the Lord. But by practice of devotion, by chanting, by listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam, by associating devotees, that means living in the Dharma. So these five things that Lord Chaitanya said were very, very important. We will gradually elevate ourselves on this path. Green mango to ripe mango. So Prabhupada gave us lots of things in a short period of time. He wanted grihasthas to have deities at home because they can't always come to the temple. They can also create Vaikuntha in their home, which is harmony, where Krishna becomes the center. So the purpose of putting deities at the home is to try and make sure that everything goes through Krishna. All of your bhoga becomes prasadam. Everything becomes the center, Krishna. So you have lots of little centers. You have Krishna in the middle, and this will enjoin harmony in your family life. So that's the point. It's not about just me and my deities and forget everything else. It's about if I put Krishna in the center, then I may then be able to extend and see what my kids are doing. They're serving the devotees. They're serving the deities. What my wife is doing, what my husband is doing, what the neighbors are doing. How can we serve Krishna better? I hope that answers your question. Was there anything else? Govinda?
There's a purport in the fifth canto where Prabhupada says that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes two types of impediments to devotional service. One of them is Vaishnava Parad, the other is the desire of the Lord. So he describes that in the case of Jai and Vijay, it was the desire of the Lord, not they didn't do an offence. And also Jiva Goswami in the Priti Sandarbha says when Jai and Vijay fell, they never forgot their eternal identity. So they're, in some sense, they're not actually really fallen.
Thanks for the wonderful points. Krishna says to Jai and Vijay, he said, you will serve in the anger of, you will remember in the rasa of anger. Yeah? He said, that's your service will be, remembering me, serving me in the rasa of anger. He says, Jai and Vijay, pray, we'll never forget you. Please let us never forget you. And Krishna, bless him, said, you will serve us in the anger, the rasa of anger. And it's a bit later on in this next chapter. So, yeah. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopra Nande.